Call on that name right now, Jesus! Hallelujah, Jesus! Hallelujah! Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! There's an anointing in this house right now. If you will allow the Holy Spirit to touch your heart and touch your mind, you can receive something directly from the Word of God that will change your life forever. Oh, hallelujah! While I was waiting, I felt the Lord deal with my heart, and I need to share this with you, I think, to help you understand what the Word of God really is. It's a living thing. When the preacher stands up and preaches, it's not important who it is or what particularly he says. It's what God is doing while the preacher is preaching the Word. The Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. That means that the Word of God will get down to where nobody else can see and nobody else knows what's going on. But that isn't just for judgment's sake. God wants to get down into your heart and bring healing into your life. God wants to use the Word to get down into your heart and deliver you from some things that are holding on to you. God wants to get down into your heart and change you. Hallelujah! You can be seated. Sister Christina used the name of Jesus. There's no other name. There's power in that name according to the Bible. Did you say that this morning you had a word for the teenagers? Is that what you said? Oh, well, I thought that's what I heard her say. What she said this morning was the Word of God. It spoke to my heart. It was exactly what I needed to hear. I say that to say this. You may not expect it when God talks to you, but in the moment, here tonight, when the Holy Ghost touches you, don't resist it. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's the rhema. That's the living Word of God. That's the activated Word of God. I could stand and read Scripture all night and that would be the Word of God. But when the Holy Ghost takes what man is saying and activates it through the power that God has, something happens in the heart of man. That's when faith begins. So if you don't know what faith is, or you wonder about faith, or you don't know how to have faith, just let God give you that answer tonight. Acts 3 and 1, I'm going to read to verse 8. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily, everyone say daily, at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. He's about to speak the word of God. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Is there anyone here tonight that believes that that God is still alive? Is there anyone here tonight that believes that God is still in the healing business? Is there anyone here tonight that believes that God could do a miracle in this place before we leave? Hallelujah. This day was a day like any other day. When this man woke up that morning, do you think he felt anything different? I don't know. Do you think he expected that by the end of the day he would be leaping and shouting in the temple? I don't know. Did he have any idea that God was going to give him a miracle on this day? Say this day. Amen. Now, we're talking about this day that the man was healed. But I also want to talk about this day that we're living right now. This day. Did Peter and John have any idea? I always wonder about that. Did they know? Did Peter know when he started walking up to the temple? Did he get goosebumps? I don't know. Did John know? Did John seem to be the more intellectual of the two? Maybe he had it all figured out. Maybe in prayer, God put it on their heart. Today I'm going to do something wonderful. Or were they just doing what they did? The Bible says this was the ninth hour of the day. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The third, the sixth, and the ninth hour. Three times a day they had sacrifice in the temple, and people went up to pray at those times. Were they just going to church because there was a prayer meeting? Praise God. That's a good thing, isn't it? Did John turn to Peter and say, "Come on, Peter, no telling what God's going to do today. Just another Sunday. We're going to church." Maybe the people that carried that man to the temple, maybe they were sick and tired of doing it every day. Do we have to bring them this day to the temple? We did it yesterday and the day before and the day before that. Maybe he was sick and tired of having people carry him around. And he said, "No, I don't want to go today." Oh, there's a Packers game on, and the Brewers are trying to get into playoffs. I don't want to go to church. It's like summer out today, and we won't get many more Sundays like this. I don't feel like going to church. Pastor Roy's out of town, and I hear Brother Seidel is preaching, and I don't want to go hear that. But on this day, God had something prepared. On this day, Peter and John came by the man at the gate. On this day, boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. On this day, the layman asked Peter and John for some alms. On this day, something happened. On this day, Peter felt a little something. Amen? Come on now. You ever feel like that when the people start to sing and to worship? When you're praying for somebody, do you feel a little something in the Holy Ghost? On this day. The Bible says that Peter and John had something that the rest of the world didn't have. They had something that this man needed. There's something here today that you need in the Holy Ghost. Whoever you are, whatever your need, whatever your situation, God has something for you on this day. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, that suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Peter and John had the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost alive and on fire inside of them. And on this day, see, they waited about a week or more there in the upper room for something to happen. They didn't even know what was going to happen. How long have you been waiting? The Bible says that suddenly, they waited, but suddenly there came a sound from heaven. And all 120 were filled. Peter and John had this outpouring. They were there. They were full of the Holy Ghost. We don't know how much later this is exactly, after the day of Pentecost, but evidently the fire is still burning. They're still coming to church for prayer. They still have a word of faith and an anointing. When people gathered around and heard that Jesus was alive there on the day of Pentecost, Peter told them what Jesus had done. And they asked him, "What do we do?" I hope before this night is over, you're asking the same question. What must I do? Everybody, let's say the answer together. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Praise God. On this day, you can have that experience. Amen. You know, we all, maybe I shouldn't say all, most of us have things that maybe just aren't quite right. You can answer for yourself. Some big things, some small things, some things more obvious than others. You know, it's easy to talk about addictions, but then we can also talk about attitudes. Maybe we fight with our kids or our parents. Or our spouse. Some of our handicaps, if I can use that word, they're not so visible. But we still need to have them taken care of on this day, this place. I said, on this day, in this place. Hallelujah. God can change your life forever. On this day, not just the day when Peter was walking to the temple, not just the day of Pentecost, but this day, today, God has something prepared. This day, we're in an apostolic church. This day, we can feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. This day, there's faith in our hearts and in this house. And God can do a work in our midst. Praise God. Peter and John are walking up, and the man on the ground there, I assume he's on the ground looking up, he says, "Alms." And Peter says, John looks at Peter and says, "What?" Peter looks at the man and says, "What did you say?" He says, "Alms." Oh, there it is again. Peter said, say it again. The man said, "I'm asking for alms." And Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold." He's got it now. He's got it. "But it is my distinct pleasure to tell you that on this day, I have something that will change your life forever." Praise God. This day, Peter said, "I got an unction. I got a touch." Anybody here got an unction in the Holy Ghost? Anybody here got a touch from God? "I got a word from the Lord," he said. "I got a Holy Ghost healing. I believe this day we can see a Holy Ghost healing here tonight." this day, Brother Martin. Amen. I got Jesus, he said, and he's alive. In the name of Jesus Christ, I say to you. Hallelujah. Let me just speculate for a moment. This man, according to Acts 4:22, the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Over 40 years old. And the Bible says that he was lame from birth. Now, we don't know how long they'd been taking him to the temple and laying him there for alms. It doesn't say. We don't get that information. So let's just assume that he started getting carried to the gate when he was, say, 20 years old. All right? Because by then, now he's a grown man. He's an adult, and his family's trying to figure out how they're going to care for him. So let's see what we can do. They started, so for 20 years, let's assume that maybe it says daily, but maybe his family didn't every day, you know, maybe every couple of weeks or so they said, not today, bro. So let's say 340 times a year they brought him to the gate for 20 years, 6,800 days. Bringing them to the gate. Over and over and over again. He's still lame. Every morning when they wake up, every morning when he wakes up, they take him to the temple. 20 years, maybe longer. On August 21st, 2017, there was a solar eclipse that swept across the continental United States from Oregon to Georgia. How many of you are aware of that? It was kind of hard not to be aware of it. A solar eclipse is seen from the planet Earth as a type of eclipse that occurs when the moon passes between the sun and the Earth and when the moon fully or partially blocks the sun. There was a band of the country that was able to experience a total eclipse where the moon totally blocked out the sun except for a corona of light around the circumference of the moon. That was the first solar eclipse visible from anywhere in mainland United States since the total solar eclipse on March 1979. Did somebody else already preach about the eclipse? I just need to check. I haven't been in every service. Oh, good. Last one was in 1979 that was seen anywhere in the United States. Next total eclipse will be in April 2024. But it will not be visible from nearly as many U.S. locations as this year's eclipse. More or less, that's about 2,400 days apart. That's less than half of the 20 years that we're speculating for the lame man at the gate. So he was there for a long time. Now, one man calculated that the frequency, if you were to choose one spot on the earth and you were going to wait for the next solar eclipse to pass that spot, it would, on the average, it's not the same everywhere, but on the average, for any given point on the Earth's surface, total solar eclipse happens about every 375 years. So if you want to wait out in the parking lot, have at it. Now, if I can't walk, people have to carry me around. 20 years is a long time. 40 years is a long time. So I don't care about 375 years. But the lame man probably felt that his chances of being healed were about as good as a solar eclipse passing overhead.
ever felt that way? But I think there's more to this than meets the eye. Sometimes we kind of overlook, I think, the impact that Jesus actually had on his culture. He preached to thousands. Thousands upon thousands, time and again. People followed him wherever he went. Every time he showed up in Jerusalem, the whole city was in an uproar. From the most important people there to the people that had least in the world. They knew who Jesus was. And then when you read the book of Acts and you see some of the things that happened under Peter's ministry, I promise you, those people in Jerusalem, they knew who the apostles were. So maybe, just maybe, this man at the gate, maybe he did know who this Peter and John, that's those Christian guys. They didn't call them Christians, those Jesus followers. Probably is what it was. He probably had an idea who they were. I mean, if he spent every day there at the temple, Jesus went to the temple. He cleared out the temple one time. Twice he cleared out the temple. And the apostles, after they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they met in Solomon's porch there on the temple grounds on a regular basis. So maybe there was something about this meeting that we're overlooking. He might have known who Peter and John were. Maybe he saw them coming. Maybe he thought, well, if they're real Christians, they'll give me something. Anybody ever say that to you? Well, if you were a real Christian... God. See, if you're here today, I think you have a pretty good idea what you're dealing with. I suspect that you knew this was a Pentecostal church before you came in here. And if you didn't have any idea what that meant before you came in, by now you're getting a pretty good idea. That this is a Pentecostal church. This is an apostolic, one God tongue talking, holy rolling church. Maybe this day is your first time. Maybe this day is one of many. Maybe you're a visitor, maybe you're a long time member. But you see, I believe that this day, do you feel something? You see, the layman reached out by faith. He called on them. And Peter said, do you believe that this day is the day that you can receive something from God? Do you believe that Jesus is alive this day in this place? Praise God. Did you think you were going to feel today what you're feeling here right now? Did you think this day was going to be like it is? Do you believe that this day in this place that Jesus Christ can set you free? Do you believe that this day Jesus Christ can wash your sins away, never to be remembered? That this day he can fill you with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? Let me try some more numbers. We don't know, as I said, how much after the day of Pentecost this event takes place. Peter and John, I assume they'd been going up to the temple on a regular basis. And if they were going to all three prayer times, that's three times a day. And let's just say this is only a month after the day of Pentecost. Three times a day, 30 days, 90 times they've gone up to the temple. For all we know, it was 6 months or a week. We don't know, but let's just say a month, 90 times they went up to the temple if they were faithful three times a day. Now, I would guess that while they were up there, they were doing a little tongue-talking while they were praying. And praise God. We don't know for sure. But now let's go back to that whole eclipse thing where we have the sun up there in the sky, and we got the earth revolving around the sun and the moon going around the earth, and they're all working in their different trajectories, and just every now and then, every 375 years in one place, there's going to be an eclipse. But we're talking about human beings now, and Peter and John three times a day are going up to the temple, and the lame man's there at the gate, and somehow their orbits have to pass each other. I don't know how many times Peter or John reached into their purse and pulled something out and gave that man something. We don't know if every time they went past him, they gave him something. Maybe they were broke because they gave it all to him the day before. But on this day, just like a solar eclipse, everything was in perfect line for God to do something miraculous. On this day, everything lines up. Maybe here and now, in this place, this is the day, in the one day in the 375 years when God is going to do something for you. Praise God. I think there's a lot of people here like the man at the gate. We've been waiting, I don't know, a week, a month, a year, 10 years. But you know about this church. Either because you're a part of it or because you heard about it. You saw it happen. And you know about Jesus. You heard about the Holy Ghost, but you're not sure that this day is the day. You're not sure if this is the day of the eclipse in a spiritual sense. See, it's a popular misconception that a total eclipse is a rare occurrence. Quite the contrary. About every 18 months, somewhere on the earth, there's a total eclipse of the sun. You just have to be in the right place on the earth's surface to see it when it happens. That means every 3 years that there's a total eclipse somewhere on this planet. If you wanted to, you could spend the rest of your life just traveling around. But there's another misconception that we deal with. And that is that there's not many miracles happening anymore. That there's not many supernatural interventions by a living God in this world anymore. We had people experience a miracle here this morning. They came and prayed, and God filled them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's a miracle. But I believe that God's still in the healing business. That God's still in the miracle business. And that we don't have to travel around the globe to find the right place and the right time for God to do it. Because it's happening all the time. And the way we get in the right place is by surrendering ourselves to God in prayer and letting the power of God work in our lives and believing Him for what He wants to do. Let's stand. Hallelujah. The Bible says that this is the accepted time and this is the day of salvation. Praise God. Now, it's not talking about one day there. It's talking about the age we live in. You see, on the day of Pentecost, God poured out the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, upon all flesh. He didn't just pick out the church people and pour it out. He poured it out on all flesh. So that means that you don't have to go find God. You don't have to go find the Holy Ghost. He's already there. He's just waiting for you to open the door to your heart so that He can fill it up. You don't have to go find God to receive a healing or to receive deliverance. He's already there. You just need to open the doors and let him in. That's what this altar call is all about. Praise God. He's already here. The book of Psalms says that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. What does that mean? It means you got to be willing to tell God, I'm sorry for my sin. Whether it's a behavior or an attitude or the things you say, whatever it is in your life that you know is not right with God, you need to admit it to him and ask for his forgiveness. And ask him to help you change your life. That's repentance. And if you want to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you want God to wash your sins away in the waters of baptism, come right down here. God will do a work for you this day. Say this day. This day. This day. That God of Pentecost is in this place. This day. That God of miracles is in this place. This day can be the first day of your eternal relationship with the living God. Praise God. If you need healing, let's believe God for miracles. Let's believe God for healing. Praise God. It doesn't need to be the preacher. It doesn't even need to be with oil. Just trust God, because this day the Holy Ghost is in this place. If you have a need, if you're struggling with something, there's something you need to turn over to God, come right down here and let God give you the deliverance, the healing, the word that you need to hear. Right down in the middle. Let this day be the day of your salvation. Let this day be the day of your healing. Let this day be the day of your deliverance. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in him. Praise God. In Jesus' name.